Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start in the Gospel of John. We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture where Jesus is giving his disciples a heads up about what is about to happen in terms of him, but also in terms of something that they are going to receive in their life. So John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Amplified, same verse. "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." You know, I'm sure when the disciples first heard that he was going to go away, that would be a little disconcerting, but he said, if I don't go away, I can't send you the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby. In fact, he goes as far as to say, it's better for you that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to be with you. That's an interesting thought, but you've got to remember back at the time when Jesus walked the earth with his disciples, if any of those disciples wanted to know anything or ask the Lord about anything, they had to wait in line, take their turns in talking to Jesus. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying there's coming a time here, there's going to be a setup, there's going to be an arrangement that's better than this one right now. In other words, Peter, you won't have to wait till I'm done talking with John to be able to talk to me. He's saying there's coming a time when I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And what is that? He said, to be in close fellowship with you, one-on-one. So why is this going to be new and better? Well, now when we've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, we don't have to take turns to talk to Jesus. He's right here on the inside of each one of us. That's good. That's better. That's more expedient. And you know, I'm sure, of course, the disciples didn't fully grasp, fully understand, of course, at the time what he was saying. But when we look back on it, we can see, wow, that is really powerful. It's a powerful truth. Now, as we look at that truth, as far as the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us, I want to look at it in conjunction with another truth. As we kind of look a little bit more about this Comforter, see a little bit more what he's like. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but," he's given us something, "a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amplified. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, cringing, fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." Good news, for the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. A little bit more insight about the Comforter that we received when we received the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, it's profitable, it's good, expedient, advantageous that I go. Because as long as he was here on the earth, God did not send the Holy Spirit ultimately to live on the inside of us, to live on the inside of us in the hearts of men. And so we could see that there's a shift, there's a change going here. And as we talk about this morning, and I do want to talk about minister along the lines of the Holy Spirit. And as I do want to kind of put it in a certain context this morning, because you can see the heart of Jesus in verse 7 there when he says, the comforter, the counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, he'll come to you in close fellowship with you. I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And he goes on to say, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will abide with you forever. All right? I mean, the Holy Spirit is with you right now. And, you know, I don't know what it is about us human beings, but a lot of times we want what we don't have. You remember when Jesus was on this earth and he walked with his disciple those 3.5 years doing miracles, amazing teachings, and he's always referencing the Father, the Father, the Father in me. He does the works. I say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. He gets to the end of his ministry. And Philip, one of his disciples, says, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And what does Jesus say? He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and still you don't know me? In other words, the disciples have Jesus in the flesh doing the miracles, and that's good, that's all right, but we want to see the Father. And Jesus is saying, look, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm a perfect representation of the Father. And what's ironic is I kind of find that in my own life. As I've endeavored to walk and live for God, there's a part of me just like, man, if I could just see Jesus. If I could just see Jesus, then I would be satisfied. And the Holy Spirit is in us saying, have I been so long with you? And still you don't know me. See, the Holy Spirit has come to lead and guide us, to show us Jesus, to reveal to us Jesus. But there can be a dissatisfaction. Let me put it this way. I am really looking forward to that day when I am in heaven. And I am in the presence of the Heavenly Father, and I can actually see Jesus. I could see his hands. I could see his, you know, feet pierced. I could see all that stuff. I'm not in the presence of Jesus, the person, right now. He's in heaven. The Father's in heaven. But I am in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in me right now. I'm not waiting on that. The Holy Spirit is there. He is here, right now, in my being. A lot of times, we're probing for a feeling. Well, how does that make me feel to have the Holy Spirit in me? And so much of getting to know and learn the Holy Spirit is not an emotional feeling. It's something deeper. But he is there, and the Holy Spirit manifests himself. But as we look at it again this morning, I just really want to kind of put it further, because we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, working with the Holy Spirit, but in the context of close fellowship with you, close fellowship. So the title of my message this morning is simply Friendship of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Friendship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. Remember Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends. And he said, I'm sending you another helper, another one who's just like me. In other words, the Holy Spirit, as he's working in you in these different aspects of power, love, and a sound mind, there is going to be a friendship inner working. There is going to be a trust that you're going to have with the Holy Spirit. One of the first things that we learned in Bible school about the Holy Spirit was that to not refer to the Holy Spirit as it, but to realize that the Holy Spirit is a person. And as you study the Holy Spirit throughout scriptures, you find that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit, there's joy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has attributes of personhood. All right, he's not just a force. He's not just like gas in your tank. All right, the person of the Holy Spirit who communicates. And so as we look at the Holy Spirit in us, my heart this morning again is for each of us to really get a sense of and establish a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at it, and we're going to kind of go ahead and get started here, I'm going to probably refer to a few times this morning, and I just watched the movie again, the trilogy again recently, The Lord of the Rings. And if any of you have seen that trilogy, I see a great analogy of the Holy Spirit in this little guy, well, halfling, he's a hobbit, thank you. He's He's a hobbit, and his name is Frodo, and he has a mission. He's got to take this evil ring, you know, and have it destroyed. And so he's on this mission to go across their land and regions to get this ring destroyed through battles, and it's a journey, and that's what all the three trilogies are about. But all along the way, this little Frodo guy has his companion named Sam. And he is there not to do what Sam's called, not to do what Frodo's called to do, but just to help him. All right? Frodo has the mission, but Sam's the helper. Much like what Jesus said, I'm going to give you a helper. You know, as a believer, you are his workmanship created in Christ for good works that he's ordained you to walk in. Each of us have missions that we're on, and the Holy Spirit is there as a helper. And if you've kind of seen that movie, that trilogy, you see that he is just there to help. Sam is just there to help Frodo. It's not a perfect analogy. Sam isn't deity. He's not perfection. But the principles and the character that he exhibits throughout that is very much the way the Holy Spirit works with us. And the cool thing that you see in this movie is the camaraderie and the deep friendship that you see between Frodo and Sam. And really that friendship and that trust is a huge part of Sam's ability to be able to help Frodo. And again, what I want to look at this morning is we're looking at the friendship with the Holy Spirit. You can't just see the Holy Spirit as a resource of power, like a resource. Yeah, he's greater than he's got this. He is powerful. He has wisdom. He has all, but he's a person. And you get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. You develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And it's that friendship that really causes the trust in the dark places. Because when you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, you know you're not alone when you're going, especially through those dark places. So this morning we're looking at our walk and inner working with the Holy Spirit, but we're looking at it in the context this morning of a friendship that we have with the Holy Spirit. So number one, the Holy Spirit, he is here to guide you. He is absolutely your guide. Jesus says in John 16:13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. In other words, this is really powerful. Like we said, you know, like Philip said, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Right now, but I'd love to see Jesus. Well, I can tell you what, the Holy Spirit is just taking the things of Jesus and he's showing them to us. In other words, the things that we're picking up in our spirit by the Holy Spirit, that's Jesus talking to us. That's a powerful, powerful truth. And there is, and this is why it's just so important. He said, he will glorify me, he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you, the Holy Spirit. And I just want to emphasize something very important. What we're talking about this morning is absolutely vital to, just walking in victory and to knowing the plan of God for your life. Many times, and rightly so, we emphasize the importance of the Word of God. God has given us his Word to live by. And we can see, know, and understand the will of God by the Word of God. But God has also given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And so we're going to have an understanding of both, not only of the Word, but also of the Spirit of God. And what I want to talk to you a little bit, you know, this morning, this point especially, is the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is very important. The reason why people get off in cults and why they're bound with a bunch of junk today, they get off, is because a man, a person, comes along and sways and wins their hearts and their minds, and people don't realize it, but they're following a man. They're following a person. And whatever he says to do, they do. And they follow with blind obedience, a person, a man. Somebody can come along and take this Bible and do spiritual gymnastics with it and absolutely destroy the intended meaning. You can rightly divide the word of truth, and you can wrongly divide the word of truth. And there are people that come along and they will undermine and belittle the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow me. No. The Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide you into all truth.
Because a great way, big way, Jesus is the Lord of your life is through the things he will speak to your heart to do. And as soon as somebody undermines or belittles the importance of the leading of the Holy Spirit and just follow me, you've got a new Lord. Jesus exercises his lordship in our lives through the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This is really important. It might seem subtle. It might seem, you know, aside. It's big. Jesus leads and guides us by the Holy Spirit into all truth. So I just want to emphasize, this is an important thing. A lot of, I can tell you right now, I'm here and I'm not off in some ditch because of the precious leading of the Holy Spirit that has helped to keep me on track. As we look at another passage kind of similar, this is the Apostle John talking. He said, "These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." Again, try to get you off in weird tangents. He says, "But the anointing, that Holy Spirit, the helper, which you've received from him, abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Amplified. "But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction, which you've received from him, abides permanently in you, so that you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do." So what is John saying? Again, John's writing to a group of people and he's going, "Oh man, I don't want them to get off. I don't want them to get off." But he's encouraging them. He said, "Look, you have an anointing on the inside of you." In other words, he's telling these folks, he's saying, "Look, if somebody's teaching, if there's a deceiver trying to preach and teach for you to do something, and in your heart, in your spirit, something's just not right, don't go for it. Don't buy it. Stay with what you've got in your heart. Follow that anointing. Follow that peace." You know, when he says, "You need not that any man teach you," he's not doing away with teachers in the body of Christ. We can see other scriptures where teachers are endorsed. But he's talking about you don't need somebody, one of these deceivers, to have to dictate to you what you have to do. In other words, when somebody does teach to you, it needs to line up with the anointing that's on the inside of you. This is for our protection. The precious Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us into all truth. And so it's an important thing to understand, and we're talking about friendship with the Holy Spirit, is that he is a friend. He loves you. You know, the scripture talks about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the most important thing that we can appreciate, understand about the guide that we have on the inside of us, you know, sometimes you talk about New Age movement. We'll have spirit guides, okay? Now, the difference between a New Age spirit guide and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we have on the inside of us is the Word of God, okay? When I am guided by the Holy Spirit, whatever the Spirit of God says to me needs to line up with the Word of God. There's accountability. When I say, "God said," well, it better line up in principle with the very Word of God. The problem with the New Age guides is there is no accountability to a New Age guide. And a lot of times, you know, there's just whatever you feel, whatever makes you feel right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, as long as you feel good and feel, that's good. There is no accountability. But we do have a spiritual guide on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, who actually authored and inspired this book. So the book is not at odds with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Spirit, again, he's the author of this book. So you'll see that. The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and when he resisted the devil, he resisted the devil with the written word of God. He said, "It is written, it is written." Took up the written word. Jesus took the written word of God, resisted the devil, and yet he was led by the Holy Spirit. So it's not one or the other. It's both working together. But the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. And just to kind of encourage you, too, in terms of kind of throwing ourselves at the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, I think one of the things that is so encouraging to me is to realize that he has been down our roads before. In other words, one of the great things I kind of think of is when just recently Julie and I have been driving with Caleb, you know, when he was still practicing to get his license. And I remember the very first time I took him out, we went down, took a left on Spring Road, And I knew what his tendency was going to be when the very first oncoming car came. I told him, I said, when the first car, you have that first oncoming car and you're driving, you're going to have a tendency to pull to the right. Just because you don't want, you're just, wow, you know, it's coming full throttle and here we are, you know, 45 miles an hour. And so I told him that. He said, okay. And that first car came and sure enough, I told him, he knew it, but it still pulled right. You know, it's just instinctive. There's like, oh, this is a new territory, and it's just like, you know. And probably a few nights later, whatever, Julie was taking him out night driving, and he was going down a road, and she said, now, be careful, Caleb, because there could be deer. There's always deer on this road. And sure enough, within a few moments, a few deer jumped out, you know. You know, and from the natural, we look brilliant. You know, we look like, wow, we're amazing. Well, the fact of the matter was we had been down those roads before, you know. We were guiding him, but we were many years of driving and right around that area. And a lot of times it's the same way, too, when we realize the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding us into all truth. It's as much as it's our life, you know, this is not his first rodeo when it comes to leading and guiding somebody. He's been doing it for thousands of years with millions of people. He's the perfect guide. He knows all. He's God. And he's absolutely led and guided us. Whatever good works he's ordained you to walk in, he's led and guided that before. He understands it. He gets it. And so when I understand the Holy Spirit lives in me and he's guiding me and I'm getting these promptings, praise God. He's my guide. He knows. And, you know, it isn't always straight lines, clean. You know, I love the analogy of Paul when he is in his missionary journeys. And you read over in Acts chapter 16, there was a time when they love God. They're just spreading the gospel. All they want to do is get the good news of God's love out, and they're going into, you know, Asia Minor, and then the Spirit forbids them to go. And they go, okay, well, let's go to Bithynia. Oh, the Spirit forbid them to go there. Well, the Spirit's guiding them. And then all of a sudden, Paul gets a dream about a Macedonian man saying, come over to us. And so then Paul says, okay, well, maybe that's it. And so they go over to Macedonia. And they preach the gospel there. There's fruit there. They actually get a little girl delivered from demon possession. And because it was a demon that was making money for her master, they got in trouble for that, and they got thrown in jail. Actually, they got whipped, and they got thrown in jail into the inner stocks. And they're probably thinking, man, maybe the Macedonian one wasn't right either, huh? You know? But they're there, and they're singing songs unto God in the middle of that. And all of a sudden, the chains fall off. The jailer's about to kill himself. And Paul says, don't harm yourself. And he gets the jailer and his whole family saved. And I've often kind of wondered in the back of my mind if the face of the man that he saw in that Macedonian vision was the face of the jailer. God is organic a lot of times in the way he moves. I mean, I don't know. But he saw a man's face and he saw that jailer and said, do yourself no harm. And that jailer's family got saved. You know, and then he got let loose. And so a lot of times when you're leading and you're guiding, you just can't have this straight line plan and it fits the certain. It's organic. It moves. And that's what Jesus said it would be. You know, the wind blows where it wills. You can't tell where it's going to come, where it goes. But so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You're doing stuff on the inside by the Holy Spirit, promptings of the Holy Spirit. And the friendship that you begin to develop and the trust. Praise God. Okay, and just because he'll lead you in a way that you might experience persecution doesn't mean that it wasn't God. You know, that's part of the things Jesus said we would have. You know, in this life we'd have persecution, but, you know, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But he is there to lead and guide us into all truth. And again, I just want to emphasize another aspect of the friendship of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, as he is guiding you, he is very, 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 very patient. In other words, a lot of times we're used to having to know now, act now, door number one, number two, number three. The Holy Spirit will just patiently work with you. He'll lead and guide and lead and guide and lead and guide. In fact, you know, the Bible says, let every rhema word, spoken word, you know, have multiple witnesses. And so as you're getting a sense and a leading and a guiding of the Holy Spirit, there will be multiple witnesses that the Holy Spirit will say, yep, this is what I want you to do. Yep, this is what I want you to do. There will be a patience, there will be a leading and a guiding. And a lot of times, if I'm going to go a direction, there's three things that I'm getting from the Holy Spirit. First of all, there's peace. I'm going to have a peace. If I'm upset, I'm disturbed on the inside, just something that's just not right, I don't want to go. I want to wait till I have that peace. Not only is there going to be peace, but there's going to be revelation. There's going to be a sense of purpose behind what this next step is going to be. There is like, wow, okay, I can see the possibilities and the things. So there's peace, there's revelation, and there's also repetition. It's something that just keeps coming back. I like to call it, it's a good Holy Spirit nagging. He'll bring it back, and he'll bring it back, and all of a sudden, after the eighth time, you're going, wow, God, you're trying to tell me something here. Yes, he will very patiently continue to bring it back and bring it back. But you begin to cultivate an awareness and understanding of who he is. You know, and it is amazing. Kind of one of the stories that the Spirit of God clearly showed me is when I was going outside once in my backyard, and we actually had, and I saw this with all my dogs growing up, but we had one pole in our backyard. I forgot even why we put it out there. I think it was for something. We had a pole. Anyway, we had Sam, when we had him on a leash, he went outside and he just kind of did a little half wrap around that pole. And then all of a sudden I hear barking outside. He's barking, barking, barking. I'm looking at him. He's just halfway wrapped around that pole. And he's just barking, barking. He's stuck. He's stuck. And I'm looking at him going, really? You're stuck. Wow. I mean, all you got to do is... And I remember just going, oh, Sam, just... But that was way over his head. You know? And a lot of times, as, you know, we're getting... God, how do I get out of this mess? You know, of course, he's looking down, seeing all things, and he's going... he's probably not going... He's not going, really, he's not, you know. But from his perspective, you know... All things are naked and open. Our jams are not complicated to him, right? And so I remember looking at Sam going, and after about, you know, four or five of these, and I just realized he wasn't getting it. It was just totally gone, you know. So the pole's right here. I thought, okay, well, he's just kind of done a crescent right here. I thought, okay, well, Sam, come here, boy. And he just run to my feet and go, come here, boy. Come here, boy. And he's just all excited. Come here, boy. Now let's go on up. And he'd go run right back up to the house, and he's free. You know, but what did I have to do? I had to do these little steps to get him around that thing. And many times, as the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, he doesn't give us the roadmap. He'll give us little things to do that gets us where we need to be. Baby steps, is that what it... But it's one of those things where the Holy Spirit, he isn't going to overwhelm us. He's going to make it simple. And I just want to be free from my mess. He just wants you to do the next thing he's telling you to do. Will it make me totally free? It'll probably lead you to another thing he wants you to do, which will lead you to another thing he wants you to do. And then pretty soon it's like, wow, I'm free. Sometimes you get free from things and you don't even remember when you got free from them. You want this epiphany. And all you're doing is following, and you're following, and you're following, and you're following, and pretty soon you forget, oh, yeah, I'm not even bound to that thing anymore. You're focused on following. And there's a friendship, there's a trust that you have with the Holy Spirit. He'll ask you to do little things, little promptings. And as you just do that one, before you know it, that pole doesn't have you anymore, and you're back on track. And God, but the cool thing about that action is you get to know the Holy Spirit. You get familiar with his leadings. Great song that came out. This is by the Newsboys, one of my favorite Christian bands. The reason why I really love this group is I've never, ever heard a group, a Christian rock group, write a song about the leading of the Holy Spirit before. And it's one of those things that just stuck with me. It goes, it's not a family trait. It's nothing that I ate. And it didn't come from skating with holy rollers. It's an early warning sign. It keeps my life in line, but it's so hard to define. Never mind, it's a spirit thing. It's a holy nudge. It's like a circuit judge in the brain. It's just a spirit thing. It's here to guard my heart. It's a little hard to explain. It pushes when I quit. It smells a counterfeit. Sometimes it works a bit like a teleprompter. When it's teleprompting you, I pray you'll let it through, and I'll help you with the how. But for now, it's just a spirit thing. It's a holy nudge. Circuit judge in the brain. Here to guard my heart. A little hard to explain. And that's what Jesus said would be better for you, that he leaves so you could have that. Very subtle, isn't it? Not dramatic. Not emotion, feeling oriented, but yet the presence in that person, he is there. He's there, there to guide us. So not only does he guide us, but he also guides you. He also strengthens you. And this is a very powerful part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of your friend, the Holy Spirit, God, who lives on the inside of you. Not only is Jesus your friend, but the Holy Spirit is your friend as well, too. Ephesians 3:14 puts it this way. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." We say this many times at Door of Life. You're a spirit being. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. But that new creation needs strengthening. Your inner man needs strengthening. And the Holy Spirit, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is actually to strengthen your spirit. Strengthen your human spirit. Give you strength, ability. Another passage along this line is Colossians chapter 1. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it," Paul writing to the Colossians, "do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Look at this. Strengthened. This is that Holy Spirit strengthening. "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy." That's a powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit. He can strengthen you for patience. He can strengthen you for long-suffering with joy. You know, again, kind of referring back to the Lord of the Rings analogy, you know, there's a point in the movie, actually kind of toward the end of the movie, where Frodo is just exhausted. He's just laying there, and he just can't do anymore. He's done. That's it. You know, he's just spent. And Sam, you know, comes up to him, and he says something very profound to Frodo. He goes, "Mr. Frodo, I can't carry the ring for you," he said, "but I can carry you." And he picks up Frodo on his back, and he begins to carry him, you know, to the mount where the ring. And that is so much the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, somebody sins against, somebody hurts me, the Holy Spirit cannot forgive for me. But the Holy Spirit can strengthen me with all might and his according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. The Holy Spirit can't do my forgiving for me, but man, he can strengthen me on the inside to forgive with joy. Praise God. That's my helper. That's my helper. That's the Holy Spirit. He's right with me on my mission. All these little things in the journey trying to knock me off my course. Strengthening me with might by his Spirit in my inner man. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's strength. That's his power. That's his ability. And as I'm endeavoring to, again, walk it out, I find that the reason why I am here today, why I can go on, is because God has strengthened me throughout my life. You know, there's a point where the Apostle Paul is having to deal with Christians who are pointing their fingers at other Christians and being critical and condemning over all kinds of different little things. Back in their day, meat offered to idols was the hot button issue. They had a lot of different things, but they were being critical and tearing each other down. And what Paul said was, "Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he'll stand or fall. and he will stand because God is able to make him stand. That's a powerful message of God's love. I've been there, I'm sure you've been there, where you're standing, but you're leaning fully on the grace of God as he's holding you up. You know, I've had that picture. I'm standing, but God's behind me doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's strengthening me. He's upholding me. He's making me stand. Praise God. That's the strengthening power. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to strengthen you. You know, there's a few aspects in this walk. One of the areas that he strengthens us, we realize that one of the things that we got to deal with, not only do we have to deal with, you know, forgiveness and people attacking us from the outside, we have to deal with our own bodies. We got to deal with our own flesh, what the Bible calls the flesh. Galatians 5 has the whole laundry list of what the flesh looks like. You know, adultery, fornication, wrath, anger, hatred, murders, divisiveness, drunkenness, a lot of the things that we just associate with losing control, okay, that the flesh will lead us into those different areas. And one of the things that we need strength with is in the area of our own bodies. Strength. What the Bible says, put to death by the Spirit, you put to death those deeds of the body. Again, the commercial I love like to refer to nowadays is you see those commercials, those Snickers commercials, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry. And you usually have somebody out there and they're kind of some big growly, I mean, it was like the Brady Bunch one. I think they had this big, you know, I don't know if it was a wrestler guy or just some big guy, and he's just yelling at, you know, the mom and dad, and he says, Marcia, you're not yourself when you're hungry. And gives that big burly guy and eat a Snickers, and she's back to Marcia again. You know? Well, let me put it this way. You're not you when you're in the flesh. Have you ever been frustrated by your own flesh? Have you? I mean, you've experienced the glory of God. You've walked. You've enjoyed amazing fellowship, intimate with God. Promise yourself, I'll never, ever leave this place again. And before you know it, you're doing that same dumb thing again that you promised you would never, ever, ever do again. Well, thank God his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God where my sin abounds, his grace much more abounds. I can come boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we've also been given the power of the Holy Spirit because those things, as frustrating as they are, they can actually be put to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we come before the throne of grace, we receive forgiveness, we receive grace. It's like getting a bite of that Snicker bar and you're back to who you really are, the new creation you really are. You know, but that's what we got to realize and understand. Sometimes people get off, you know, and they think, oh my goodness, I guess maybe Christianity wasn't real. This was all fake. It was all phony. No, you're just not yourself when you're hungry. You're just not yourself when you're in the flesh. You just need grace and mercy to help, forgive, cleanse, get your hearts restored to God and be strengthened by the power of his Spirit again. The Spirit of God is in there to do that for us. He's there to strengthen us with might on the inside. And it is hard to explain how that always works. I just find that, you know, really, there's just something about when I decide I am going to be honest with God, that strengthening happens. There's just a pouring. When I pour out, he pours in. When I keep it in, he's got nothing to put into me. You know, one of the great little pictures that we got in the book of Revelation where God was, you know, kind of reprimanding one of the churches, he said, look, I would that you were hot or cold. I would rather you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. God can't deal with lukewarm. When you go on to see what he meant by lukewarm, he said, you say you're rich, you say you're this, but you're really this. It's a phoniness. Lukewarmness is phoniness. It's pretending everything's okay when it's not okay. Sure, God loves the hot person. They're in hot fellowship with God. But God can work with a cold person too. A cold person is out of fellowship with God and they know they're out of fellowship with God and they're acknowledging, things aren't right here, God. What's going on here? Da, 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 da. God can work with that. God can work with cold. God can work with honest hearts. But it's the phony, fake, lukewarm, that's okay, I'm fine, but on the inside you're dying, but you really, no, but can't work with that. There's no opening there. Hot? Yes. Cold? Yes. I can work with cold people and I can work with hot people. What do cold people and hot people have in common? They're both talking to God. I might be mad, but I'm talking. Here I'm warm and I'm talking, but I'm talking. But when you're talking, you've got something for God to respond to. But that Luke is warm is that dangerous spot. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. But something's not right. And we can stay in that spot of lukewarm. It's wondering why God isn't moving. You know what? There's parts in the scripture that says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy be turned to heaviness. Why? God wants to get you cold so he can get you hot again. He wants to get you honest with yourself so you can have real fellowship. See, the Holy Spirit's a person. And he wants to have fellowship with you. He's not a blob. He's not a force. He's not gas in your tank. He's a person. And the joy of living for God is genuine fellowship with God. I'm saying things and I'm picking up things. And he's showing me things to come. And it's this dynamic, really alive, interactive life. Lukewarm, you're in a phony cocoon. Cold, hot, he can work with you. And a lot of times, too, when we talk about this stuff, God's strengthening you with might by his spirit in the inner man. He's wanting to talk to you. He wants to move. And that strengthening will take place cold. It'll take place hot. But we got to make sure we're in a position. I am being honest with God here. Yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I want to know. I want to know what you want me to do. I need your strength. I can't do this. I can't do this in my own strength. And then finally, the aspect of friendship with the Holy Spirit is not only his strengthening and the way he works with you, but also just to know that the Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. I mean, I grow up knowing God loves me. I even know that Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. For God so loved the world, Jesus loved me, he gave his life for me. But it's important to understand that this guide, this one you're trusting, the one whom you are right now, currently, presently interacting with now, absolutely loves you. The exact same way that Jesus loves you, the exact same love that the Father loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. It's a profound, profound, powerful truth. We were singing about it this morning. He is jealous for me. James 4:5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, yearns jealously? Amplified. Do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. Huh. The Spirit of God, your guide, the one who's prompting you, also, by the way, really loves you. He really cares about you. In fact, we see in Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We've kind of looked already, you know, that he's a spirit of power, that strengthening force, the spirit of a sound mind to lead and guide, but he's also a spirit of love, the Spirit of God, God's love, our guide, the one who's, he yearns over us, loves us, has our best interest in heart. And, you know, kind of, again, going back to the Lord of the Rings movie, not only does Frodo have the influence of Sam there to help him, but he's also got this creature called Gollum, all right? And you can tell as Frodo is on his mission, you've got both of these separate beings, if you will, that are competing for influence over Frodo. Sam, who's the right one all along, is competing. He wants, and Frodo loves Sam, and Sam loves Frodo, and they've already got something, all right? So actually, they come into this mission with something already intact, but there's something from the outside that's now competing with Sam for that influence over Frodo, over his mission. And you find that when you kind of go along in the movie, there was a certain scene. While they're sleeping, Gollum takes some of the elvish bread, which is kind of their sustenance to live off of, and he sprinkles a few speckles of that elvish bread on Sam. Gollum does. And then he throws the bread overboard. And then, you know, off the cliff. And then when they wake up, it looks like Sam has eaten the last of the elvish bread because he's got all these crumbs on him and the bread's gone. And so what happens? Gollum frames Sam so that his influence won't be heeded. And then he also puts suggestive thoughts into Frodo's head. Sam wants the ring. His motives are wrong. And that is the other thing we've got to deal with on our journey. Not only do we have the helper of the Holy Spirit who's there to lead and guide us into all truth, but we realize too, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, you got powers and principalities. What the Bible calls powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, those things that are warring against our mind. They're the competing influence. And you'll see over and over and over again what those influences do, try to frame God. What happened here? Why God? Why God? Why God? How can you trust this? You explain this to me. If you're that one you're following, can you explain this, the atrocity? There's a continual accusing and framing and framing. And so as we're walking along this, as long as Frodo trusted his friendship that he had with Sam, that Sam was telling him right, man, he was guided, he was doing the right thing. But as soon as Gollum got in there and he could have influenced, you know, Frodo, then Frodo would make the wrong moves and he'd put his life in danger. And so, again, a lot of times we got to realize, if Frodo could have just realized one thing, you know what? Sam loves me and Gollum doesn't. When you get a revelation, who is it that's talking to me that loves me? Is the advice that I'm getting right now and the spirit that I'm listening to right now, does that person love me, really love me? Or is it just accusing? Does it pass the love test? The Holy Spirit passes the love test. The Holy Spirit loves you. Even if the Holy Spirit is leading you a long way around of patience and long suffering, the Holy Spirit loves you. Who's leading you? Sure, the enemy will come and give you some shortcuts, but who loves you? Who loves you? The Holy Spirit loves you. The one who's leading and guiding you, he absolutely loves you. And there's probably, you know, some of the greatest moments that we've ever experienced as believers. Some of those greatest moments haven't even been in a place like this. They've been with just you and God by yourself. Wherever that place is, wherever that special place is, and you've experienced his presence, and you've experienced his joy, you've experienced his peace. That's the Holy Spirit. He is with you forever and ever and ever. And, you know, the way the movie ends, it's kind of a really cool ending. I don't mean to spoil it for you, but, you know, Frodo does his mission. He is successful. But at the end, when he is totally spent, he kind of wakes up in this bed, and it's kind of like this, almost like this glory. You almost wonder, did he die? Because it's kind of, everything's glorious and white. But he wakes up, and no, he is alive. And you see Gandalf is standing before him, who's kind of the over guide for Frodo, you know, kind of the bigger overseer guy. And then all of a sudden, you see this cast of characters that you saw throughout his whole journey. You know, Pippin and Merry, and you see Aragorn, the king, comes through, and you see the little dwarf guy, and the all the different people that had influenced and helped him on his journey. And you're going, oh, and it's kind of cool. You see all these people walk through the door while Frodo's waking up. And it's like, oh, there's just such a sweet camaraderie and sweet fellowship and all that stuff. And pretty soon, the very last person who walks through that door is Sam. And then Frodo sees Sam. And there's just like, there's a connection Frodo has with Sam, as good as all the other ones were, that is better than any of them. And you can feel it when they see each other. And you know what? When your life is done, when the story of your life is told and you see the cast of characters coming across your life of people that helped you, could be your spouse, children, friends, ministers, people that were along the way, you'll look at them and go, wow, praise God, praise God. You're part of my journey. Yeah, sweet part of my journey. But the one that you're going to look at and see is the Holy Spirit. He's the one you're going to look at. Wow. We were through everything together. You were with me where all those other people couldn't be with me. He's your friend. He loves you. He's your friend. There's something about seeing the Holy Spirit, not just greater than he that's in the world. Yes, he is greater than he that's in the world, but He yearns for you jealously. He loves you. He's for you. He's your friend. He wants to unleash that power as friend and for you to know him as friend. So, point of a message like this morning where we talk about the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he guides me, strengthens me. He loves me. See these things. See the inner working of the Holy Spirit in your heart and think of someone like if you've seen the movie of Sam or somebody that you really know is a trusted, good, close friend, see that in your heart because that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is your friend. He is your helper on your journey. And he is the one who you will see when this is all done, the end of your life, and you're going to be saying, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in me, for being with me, even at the point of your death. Let's say if the Lord tarries and you die before the Lord comes back, it's not just you leaving your body. It's you and the Holy Spirit together leaving your body. You are never alone. You're not alone in life. You're not alone in death. Anybody who's a Christian who's ever experienced death has never experienced loneliness in that passing. Them and the Holy Spirit together went from the body to the presence of the third heaven together. You will never, ever, ever leave or get away from the Holy Spirit. We have him down here now in this life as our helper. Let's get to know him as the good friend he is. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. You said that it was better that you go so that we could have this amazing friendship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you called us friends, and you said that you would send another friend, another comforter, helper. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for the guiding power of the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us step by step by step, in line with the Word of God, agreeing with the Word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leading and guiding power, strengthening power. You strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we receive that strengthening right now. And I pray that over each one here this morning. Be strengthened with might by the power of the Holy Spirit in you now. Receive that strength. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit. You love us. You're in us. You yearn jealously for us to follow your advice, to follow your leading, to not listen to the accusations of the enemy, the powers, the principalities, the golems, whatever we want to call it, but to trust, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, the precious friendship of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our faithful friend. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for grace and peace right now over each one here this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.